Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18.
Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today, whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison.
Hebrews 12, verse 15. And you'll notice that both in the Old Testament through Moses, or in the New Testament through the writer to the Hebrews, the message is still the same. The message is that a root of bitterness may pop up in your heart that will destroy not just you, but every relationship that you have in a home, in a church, at work, anywhere. We have the same warnings both from the Old and the New Testament.
See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
Through our three meetings, we want to think about the theme of forgiveness. But the first thing we want to consider now is bitterness. Looking at our election process, looking at all the hate in the killings we see, we realize that there's a lot of people who are bitter. But let me say to you that God's people are not immune to this problem. Otherwise, the warnings from the Old Testament and the New Testament would not be here for God's people to pay attention. There's bitterness how Christians sometimes talk about other Christians. There are people that don't even want to hear about church because they have been hurt by church leaders. And I hear that argument frequently. And that's why we are warned about not letting roots of bitterness to sprout out of our souls. You notice, first of all, that bitterness is compared here to a root. Roots result from seeds that have been planted in a heart. And those seeds are seeds planted by usually an offense or a hurt. We have a choice when we are hurt or offended by someone. Either we go to God and have it removed through confession and forgiveness, or we are going to start grooming that hurt, that offense, and that will start growing and poisoning our soul. Bitterness is the result of wrongly responding to the hurt, to the offense. We can see signs of bitterness very easy on people who are bitter. We see anger, sarcasm, difficulty resolving conflicts, withdrawal, giving the cold shoulder, as we say, criticism, suspicion, hypersensitivity, being upset over anything and everything. And usually you can see depression there too. The longer you carry a grudge, the heavier it becomes, the harder to pluck it out. It's on the news this week that John Hinckley Jr., after 35 years in jail, is going to be released. 35 years ago, he attempted to kill President Reagan. And 35 years ago, when President Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr., and he didn't die because there was a security that came between him and one of the bullets, but he was hurt and wounded and he landed in a hospital. There was a reporter that interviewed President Reagan and asked him, "Are you going ever to be able to forgive this man who tried to kill you?" The President Reagan's response then to the reporter was, "My friend, my recovery depends mostly on my desire to forgive John Hinckley who tried to kill me. I know that my recovery depends above all on me forgiving John Hinckley for trying to kill me. He was not going to go through life with bitterness and hate. And that's a choice that he had, and that's a choice that you and I have today. Someone says that it is not the mountain ahead that will wear you out. It is the grain of sand in your shoes that will make you stop. It is not the tall mountain ahead of you that is going to wear you out. It's the grain of sand in your shoes that will stop you. It is not the tall mountain that stops you from being happy and continue to climb. It's that little grain in your shoe that will make you stop. It's that seed of bitterness that will change you for worst. Forgiveness. It's what we have to deal with when bitterness comes to our soul. Luke 17, verse 3 through 5.
Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day, and returns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith.
So we learn several things here. First, that one offended did approach the offender. Secondly, we learn that forgiveness is ongoing for the same person in the same day many times. Forgiveness, we learn with Jesus, is not an occasional act, but a permanent attitude. Not an occasional act, but a permanent attitude. You know, I love the Amish. I enjoy so much going to Lancaster County with my wife. And the Amish do have their own business in small stores, which I love. And I never forget going to this store with my wife, and they had a big sign right at the door. Everything here is not made in China. Everything here is not made in China. But there's an Amish store well known that has this sign. It says, they sell lots of little things, but they sell hurricanes. Do you know what is a hurricane? They don't use electricity. It's one of those lamps, and you put the glass on top, all right, you light, and then put the, we call the hurricane. It's all glass. And they had this sign in the store, if you break any glass, please let us know so we can forgive you. So if you break anything in this store, let us know so that we can forgive you. We may forgive you. Their culture is a culture that I've learned that forgiveness is not something occasional. It's ongoing in the life of a Christian. Brother and sister, lack of forgiveness shows a lot about us. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 23 through 28.
For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe.
And Jesus is placing here a big contrast. The love of God and the debt we have against God is huge, and he forgave us. And so many times we will not forgive other people that upset us with little things. I want to tell you that if you read this week's newspapers, or online, there is a case exactly like what Jesus is saying here. It happened in India when one of these extremely poor people of the society called the Dalits or Dalits, the bottom of the Indian society, he went to this grocer. And at the grocery store of that man, he bought three small bags of cookies because he had three children. And he told the man at the grocery, "I will come back to pay when I get paid." And that's fine. The only thing, as you know, in that culture, Dalits are less than dirt to them. And the man did not get paid when the boss should have paid him. So the grocer man saw him on the street and says, "How come you have not paid for the cookies?" And in dollars, it is less than 5 cents what this poor man owed the grocer. And the man says, "I don't have it because my boss didn't pay me. He says he'll pay me today, and I'll come back with less than 5 cents worth." The grocer went in his store, got a weapon, and killed the man and his wife for less than 5 cents. So the Lord wants to tell us that we have to look at the cross, because we ought never to forget that forgiveness is costly. Yes, it's going to cost you something, but look at the cross. How much cost God to forgive you and me? Forgiveness is always costly, always. But don't forget how much He has forgiven you. And because it's costly, always speaks up about the love that we have. Because if there is no love, there will never be forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is love. Those two things always go together. Lack of forgiveness shows how unloving I am. Always. Always. So, in light of how much God forgave you and me, when we refuse to forgive, the Lord has a strong word for you and me when we refuse to forgive. Matthew 18 and verse 32. Look at what the Lord says. Verse 32 says that the Lord called that servant. Do you know what the Lord told that servant? The Lord says, "You wicked, you wicked servant." Because your lack of forgiveness just reflects the culture around you, puts you in the same type of culture and worldview. We are called to a different lifestyle. The Christian lifestyle is forgiveness. But notice that forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a promise. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a promise. Isaiah 43 verse 25, when God promised to forgive, He says, "I will not hold on to your offense against me." It is a promise with the initiative on the one that was offended. You forgive first, and then the feelings will come. You see? You and me usually do the other way around. We wait for the feelings to come for us to forgive. The Bible says it works the other way around. First you forgive, and then the feelings of empathy and whatnot come after that, with God's peace attached. When we talk about forgiveness, we talk about Joseph. He chose to forgive his brothers. He focused on God, not on the offenders. And God used that hurt to bless his life and all around him. But sometimes you and I say, But it's so humiliating to ask him or her for forgiveness. It's so humiliating to do that. But brother and sister, that's what God did. He humbled himself to the death and death of the cross in order to offer you and me forgiveness. It's always costly, always humiliating, but it's always the high road for the blessing. And the Bible says, when Paul writes to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, and he talks about getting rid of bitterness, he ends up saying, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. It means don't let the day end up and you have bitterness and anger in your heart. Don't let it happen, brother and sister. And we that are married, for the most part, have to confess, and I'll start being the first to plead guilty and say, there has been times that I went to bed to sleep and I looked to the left and my wife was looking to the right, and we forgot that the Lord commanded us to settle every issue before we got to bed. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. But notice that forgiveness is more a matter of faithfulness than of faith. You remember what happened when Jesus told the disciples in Luke 17, told them, forgive your brother and your sister, not three times, but as many times as they need it, even in one day. And you remember the reaction of the disciples. They came to the Lord and said, Lord, add faith to us. They were confessing, we cannot do it on our own. We can't. It's impossible to do that. But the Lord answered with a parable. Let's go back to Luke 17, please. Verse 7.
Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat?
And you notice that Jesus followed the issue of forgiveness with this parable. And they asked for faith, and Jesus talks about faithfulness and tells them about this master that comes, and the servant is tired and comes and serves him, and he asks, do you think the master owes the servant any thanksgiving for doing what he's supposed to do? And Jesus says on verse 10, and when you do what I tell you to do, it's not a big deal. Should not be a big deal. If I command you to forgive, and forgiveness should not be occasional, but your lifestyle should never be a big deal. It's your job description as a Christian, as it is of the servant, to be tired and still serve the master. It's his job description. It's your job description. It's my job description as Christians to always forgive. No exceptions. That's why the Amish should say, if you break any glass in the store, don't run away, don't hide. Come to us. We need to learn to forgive more. We want to forgive you. Come to us. And forgiveness, brothers and sisters, sets the captive free. And the captive is you who have a hard time forgiving. You who don't forgive will live in chain to that hurt for the rest of one's life. And finally, and remember the preacher just said finally, he didn't say he's going to end, he said finally. Forgiveness, like President Reagan says, heals not just the soul, but the body too. Let me give you a story from another Amish farmhouse, this time in Indiana, the name of the lady, Linda. She was born in that farmhouse where she spent 2 years of her life convinced that she was dying. And Linda had this disease that doctors diagnosed all kinds of treatments and all kinds of diagnostics. First, she was told that she had fibromyalgia, then that she had Lyme disease, then she had Epstein-Barr disease. And on the doctors went trying all kinds of pills and all kinds of treatments, and she continued to grow sicker and sicker and sicker. One day a friend visited Linda, and this is out of her testimony in the book she wrote. A friend visited Linda and was stunned Linda was stunned. Her friend asked her a simple question. Linda, do you have any grudges against anybody that you have not forgiven? She was stunned and shocked that her friend would even dare to ask that question to such a religious girl. Her friend went away and she said that she started searching her heart and memory, picked up a piece of paper and a pen, and all of a sudden God's Spirit started bringing to her mind faces and names. And in a short period of time, she had a full page completed with names of people that she was bitter against. She spent the next month writing letters, apologizing and asking for forgiveness. In a month, she wrote 27 letters. Linda states in her book that after she started writing these letters, confessing her sin to these people and apologizing for her bitterness, in 3 months she started getting better and feeling better. She says in her book, after 2 years, she had no more symptoms of any of that disease that was unknown to the doctors. Indeed, as President Reagan says, my own recovery depends on me forgiving the man who tried to kill me. He knew that. Linda experienced that. And I'll tell you, not just your soul, but even your body, your mind, your emotions need healing that will only come through forgiveness. In Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace gives life to the body. The doctors could not figure out what was wrong with Linda and how she got better. But indeed, the person who forgives and learns to forgive continually does more for himself or herself than for anybody else. Because forgiveness is true freedom. Forgiveness is true medicine for your heart, your soul, and your body. It is our lifestyle. We are called to this. It's our job description as Christians. Let's start learning that today.